Bill, thanks for jumping on. How you doing? How's the family? How's everyone holding up here?
Oh, wait, you guys are talking to me?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking to you.
Oh, wait, what did I do? No, we're doing all right.
Stop that. You were good. You know you were good. You know you were good.
Yeah, don't play that Bill Weddington game.
Don't stop.
We're Canadian, too. We know that.
Yeah, we know how you rolled, what team you were on, have 10-part documentaries coming out soon. We know all about the Bill Weddington ego. Don't
try and
hide it.
You were one of the few we had to cheer for, Bill Weddington. Come on now.
Oh, my. And it all started at the Jarvis Invitational back in 1981.
Nice. Wow. The Jarvis Invitational. Wow.
Very nice.
Jarvis Bulldogs, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my. We're
are you
doing
excited?
Well, actually. I'm just in quarantine over here. I'm out walking the dog. So other than that, I'm good.
So who, like, when you go back to, I know you went to high school in the United States, like my mom's from Rosemere. So I get the Montreal love every once in a while. Like, are you Beaconsville? Are you Pointe Claire? Are you DDO? Like where do you call home in Montreal?
I have an interesting story because in, second half of ninth grade, my dad moved to Dollard to be closer to his future wife, his now wife still. And so while they were dating, for one year, I went to Lindsay Place, and it was really one calendar year, the second half of grade 9 and the first half of grade 10. And then we moved back to Beaconsfield. But I really grew up in Beaconsfield, went to Beaconsfield High School. So I have two friend groups that I stay in touch with, one from Dollard and Lindsay Place High School, and one from Beaconsfield at Beaconsfield High School. Still got friends that I talk to today from both.
Good.
Nice. Bill Weddington joining us here on Tim and Sid. Bill Weddington, for those of you who don't remember, or if you're a little younger, you don't know, Bill was on that 97-98 Bulls team, the one that's being talked up a lot because the 10-part documentary is debuting this weekend, parts 1 and 2 on ESPN, and for those in Canada, it'll be available on Netflix come Monday. Bill, are you dreading watching this? Like, what are your feelings as this thing gets rolled out here? What are you expecting?
Well, I'm actually very excited. It's going to be a great trip down memory lane. Again, a lot of people are going to see a lot of different things, and Michael's already come out and said it. You know, some people might not think he's a very nice guy after this because the way he pushes his teammates, but I'm loving it because I know exactly what he was doing. I was there. I was the brunt of some of it because he was trying to make me better, trying to push me in the direction where he needed me to be to help the Bulls win championships. And I always say there's two teammates that Michael's had, some that love him as I do. He made me a better player, and I like winning as much as he likes winning. So I was willing to put in the work and do it. And there's other players that are going to say, you know, he was really a tough teammate. He was hard to play with because he was so demanding. And you just have to, if you understand where he's coming from and what he wanted to do, and it's a win at all costs, mentality, you get it, and you pushed yourself to do it because all you had to do was look at him every day, and he was at practice early, he was shooting, he was getting his workouts in weight wise and strength and conditioning before practice, then going through full practice, and then staying after practice and working. And if you got the best player in the world doing that, how can you not follow suit or complain when he's telling you to work a little bit harder? Because he's doing it.
Bill Weddington joining us here on Tim and Sid. First quick question, have you seen the 10-part doc yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I was not invited. I know there's a few reporters that have seen at least eight of the episodes. I think they said the last two aren't quite finished yet. They're still working on them, but they will be done by the time they have to air. But I have not seen them.
So the one thing that we all kind of know, if you're a fan of basketball or if you're around the time when Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan, was the competitive nature that he brought to the table. And you touched on it and how hard he worked, but there was also, like, it went beyond just hard work, right? Like, he was competitive in everything he did.
Everything's a competition to him. And practice was a competition. Scrimmages were competitions. Specific drills were competitions. He'd compete off the court with cards and everything you were doing. Driving to practice became, I don't want to say a race, but a race. You know, and at the time, one story I like to tell is I had a van, a big old Ford Econoline van with a high top, you know, the old family truckster van. That, you know, I put my family in, and I'm driving to practice, and I notice that Michael's coming in behind me, and all of a sudden, I know what he's going to do, and he's going to come up past me. So I'm prepared, and I literally did not let him pass me for 4 miles. And literally, I can't self-incriminate myself or him in any laws that we may or may not have broken in driving. But for the next 2 days, all it was me busting his chops that he was driving a $70,000 Corvette and I was in a $30,000 van and he couldn't beat me.
But it's all strategy at that point, man. It's like a good NASCAR driver. Well,
using the girth.
Well, it is. But that's why he was so good at what he did, because he competed at everything, and he wanted his teammates, us, to compete as hard as he did and prepare to win as hard as he was preparing to win.
Bill Wennington, Canadian, former Chicago Bull, currently a radio analyst with that franchise, talking to us about The Last Dance, the 10-part documentary on the 97-98.
We may have lost Sid Sixero along the way.
Hello.
Don't worry. I still got you here, but as we're working from our kitchen in our closet, we're having this happen.
Timmy, you got me now?
Wow. We got you now.
You guys
now.
Got me now? Oh, okay. My apologies, Bill. My studio in the kitchen isn't what it used to be. It's a little off. So NBA Entertainment was given basically permission to follow you guys around. They're like the NFL films of the NBA. I have to ask, Bill, how comfortable did you guys get with the cameras following you? How candid did you get in front of the cameras? How much of a real reflection do you think we're about to see of what type of team you were?
I mean, it's going to be pretty close. You're going to see everything as far as competitiveness and basketball-wise, what was going on. And, you know, the first few days that the camera crews were there, yes, everyone paid it. You know, you saw them there. But by the end of the season, they were just there. And all the cameramen were good guys. And, you know, they'd be with us once in a while. We'd go out to dinner or whatever. They'd be tagging along. And, again, they were following 14 guys, mostly Michael and Scotty and Dennis. But they followed us all around. So they weren't around any one person a lot where they got in the way. Yes, there were times you probably wanted private times, but you're going to see some of that. Where we wanted to get away, because it was kind of – there was a lot of attention brought to that team, and they were there. You're going to see a lot. I mean, you're not going to be in anyone's bedroom at nighttime, but
– That's a different documentary. That's a different documentary.
Yeah. I think Dennis is going to have that one released in a few years.
Bill Wennington's, you're one of the OGs, and I we're running out of time here, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about – Canadian basketball, and I wasn't lying. Like, when you were playing, like, I was combing the newspapers for any Canadian that I could find, whether it was you or Mike Schreck or claiming Rick Fox as a Canadian because, you know, he had a little bit of ancestry and then ended up playing for us. But are you surprised at how far basketball has come in your home and native land?
Oh, absolutely. Because, well, again, when I started playing basketball back in the 70s in Canada, you couldn't go outside to a park and find a hoop. And it was rare to go into a gym and find a little – I started playing a little YMCA league, and there just wasn't a lot of it. And the national team, obviously Jack Donahue had been there, and I got to play with him. It helped the program grow. But now, I guess, with ESPN and the NCAA and the NBA getting so big, Canadians are watching basketball – as much as Americans are now, and you could tell by the players that are coming into the league, and it is growing so much. I'm so happy and proud of that, because there are a lot of great athletes in Canada, and some of them now are changing their skates in for basketballs, and I think that's great.
Bill, this is going to be exciting to watch, and we really appreciate you jumping on here and talking to us about it. And it's going to be, honestly, I think we can all agree, it's going to be one of the most watched sports docs in history, and hopefully you enjoy it as much as us fans, Tim and I, growing up when you guys were doing what you were doing. Quickly, one last one, Bill. Had the team stayed together, how many championships would you have won on top of what you already won?
I think it would have been tough to win another one. I think another one was possible, but if you remember, Scotty's back was starting to get a little sore. Michael was getting a little bit older. We're all getting a little older. So it would have been a little bit different, but I think it was possible. But I can't say it's guaranteed, but I'd like to think that we could have, because just the spirit of that team and the determination of Michael is what stands out, and I haven't seen that in any other athlete since then.
It would have been nice to watch, but unfortunately it didn't happen, and that's why we got a 10-part doc coming up. Bill, great catching up with you. Continue to stay well. All the family, we wish the best. And hopefully we're back to sports soon, and you can come back to this wonderful country for a Bulls-Raptors game.
I hope so. I love coming up to Toronto. It's a lot of fun. It's not quite as cool as Montreal, eh? But it's still Canada, and I love it.
We understand. Thanks.
All right, guys.